Blog Talk Radio.
It's Monday morning, May 9th, 2016, and this is Monday Morning Devotionals from the Book of Mark, number 1.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
Welcome back to God Thoughts Radio. I'm Pastor Brad, and I want to begin a new ministry today called Monday Morning Devotionals from the Book of Mark. For the next several months on Monday mornings, I'm going to take you to the Book of Mark, which is the very first gospel that was ever written. And we're just going to go through highlighted parts of what God has prompted me to share with you. The premise is that you've got to know your Bible in this age of delusion. You've absolutely got to know your Bible. That statement is scripturally sound. Colossians 3:16 says that we need to let the word of Christ richly dwell within us. You need to allow God's word to be paramount in your life. Proverbs 3:3 tells us to write them on the tablets of our heart. And the word of God, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, is what's going to keep us from the delusion of this age. So I want to jump right in. In Mark chapter 1, picking up at verse 32 through 39, let me just read that for you. And then I just want to make some comments. It says, "When evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him, that is Jesus, all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. The whole city had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak, because they knew who he was. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And they found him and said to him, 'Everyone's looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let's go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, in order that we may preach, or in order that I may preach there also, for that's what I came out for.' And he went into their synagogues throughout all of Galilee, preaching and casting out demons." I just find this brief passage of Scripture pretty interesting in the day and age in which we live. Picking up at verse 34, it says to note that he healed many who were ill with various diseases. He did not heal all. A part of the delusion of this age and a renewed emphasis that is sweeping many parts of evangelical Christianity is that somehow it's God's will to heal everybody of everything all the time. And it's just not scripturally valid. That's not what Jesus did. Sometimes Jesus healed all who were there. Other times, Jesus only healed a few, per John chapter, I believe it's chapter 5, where it says that he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. In fact, actually, that's the wrong reference. Let me just confirm that, taking you to, I believe it's Mark 6. I believe we're in the same, in the place that we, the same book that we're in right now. Yeah, it's Mark chapter 6 in verse 4. Jesus said to them, "A prophet's not without honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household." And he could do no miracle there, no work of power, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them, and he wondered at their unbelief. And of course, Jesus, the blind man in John chapter 9, he was born for the glory of God. Jesus wound up healing him, but not until he was an adult. And of course, in Revelation chapter 2, the Bible says that the church is in danger of God casting upon those who follow the prophetess Jezebel, casting them on a bed of sickness. So you see here back in Mark chapter 1, verse 34, he doesn't heal everybody of everything all the time. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, and he plugged in to that. goes on to say that he was casting out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. I find this so very, very important in this age of delusion in which we live. Note that the demons know exactly who Jesus is. The demons know that Jesus is Lord. The demons know that Jesus is Savior. And yet there's a huge difference, an eternal difference, between knowing who the Savior is and having him be your Savior. In addition, James 2:19 tells us that the demons believe that God is one, that there's only one God, and yet they shudder. It's so fascinating and so important, I think, in the times in which we're living, that we understand that the demons have all the right beliefs, and the demons know who Jesus is, but that's not enough to save them. The kind of belief that the demons have does not save them. They do not put their trust in Jesus. They put their trust in the fact that there's only one God. They put their trust in the recognition that Jesus is who he is. But note that that's not enough. We've got to have our belief in Jesus has got to be somewhere above that of the demons. Goes on to say that in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose, went out, and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. I just want to say to you that if it was necessary for Jesus to rise early each day and seek God's face and spend time praying over his life and over the furthering of God's kingdom in him and through him, how much more do we need to spend time in prayer? I believe that prayer is the single greatest thing that the devil wants to keep me and you from. I believe that the demons of hell will do virtually anything they can to keep you from a vibrant prayer life. Prayer is what looses the will of God upon the earth. And it makes sense then, doesn't it, that the gates of hell would try and prevail against that. Verse 36, and Simon and his companions hunted for him. I love that word hunted. It's an accurate portrayal of the Greek word there. They sought for him diligently. And that's what the Bible teaches us, doesn't it? That you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. We find Jesus to the degree that we seek for him. And again, I want to encourage you today to make time. Do whatever you need to do to carve out time each day to seek the Lord with all your heart. It makes all the difference in the world. Proverbs 3:32 says, the secrets of the Lord are for those who fear him. The secrets of the Lord are for those who diligently seek him. It says they found him, verse 37, and said to him, everyone's looking for you. I find it fascinating that Jesus, far from setting up camp and establishing a megachurch, he gave the people the word. He validated the word with his signs and his wonders, and then he moved on to the next community. Verse 38, he said to them, let's go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, in order that I may preach there also, for that's what I came for. He had given them enough to know who he was, and then he left the decision in their hands. And it concludes by saying that he went into the synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. And what was it that he preached? Well, it's established in the very first statement that he made by way of public ministry, all the way back in verse 15, still in Mark chapter 1. It says that in reference to John, rather, that he had been, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. That is the invitation, my friends. That is God's invitation to you, to repent and believe in the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. After that, he appeared to Peter, he appeared to the Apostle Paul, he appeared to the 12 apostles. He appeared after that to more than 500 brethren. What is the gospel? Jesus defined it in every one of the synoptic gospels. He said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to lose his life shall save it. But whoever saves his life, or rather, whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the sake of the gospels, he is the one who shall save it. For what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I want to ask you that right now. How is it that you're living? Are you living for the will of God, or are you living for your own will? Are you doing your own thing and going your own way and asking God to bless it? Or are you crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires and seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness? I want to pray for you this morning as we begin this new week. Oh, Father, I ask that you will, well, first of all, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to spend these moments in your word, and you're living an active word, and I ask, Lord, that you will watch over that word and perform it in our lives. And Father, wherever we are deceived but we don't know it, we give you permission to be at work in our lives to expose that deception and open our eyes to the truth and send your kindness that will lead us to repentance and lead us in that everlasting way that we might become for you a light in a dark world, that we might escape the corruption that is in the world by lust, and that we might be your representatives in a lost and dying world, that we might be ambassadors for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, and for your truth. And may we, Lord, become the people, the men and women, the boys and girls that you originally intended for us to become. And may we walk in the good works that you've prepared beforehand for us to walk in. These things we pray today and for this week, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.